When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome to Your Questions Answered. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Adam Nicholas from What Culture to answer all of your burning wrestling questions. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW Dynamite, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a Bliga quiz, of course, on wrestling culture. But as I said, I am joined by Adam Nicholas to take on the Q&A community. And Nicholas, let's start by diving straight into these Twitter questions we got at What Culture WWE, at It's Adam Nicholas, at Adam Wilborn, all three of us on Twitter. This one comes from Johnny Rest Sling, who says,
good.
Are two-night pay-per-views the way forward? Should AEW adopt this approach? Love you guys. Love you too, Johnny. Yeah, what did you make, first of all, of two nights of WrestleMania again?
I think they have made a massive change, I think. And I think the best comparison I could possibly make would be, obviously, we had WrestleMania 37. We had two great nights. You get two big endings to two pay-per-views, both which went down pretty well in different ways, I think. But then we go back to one you and I personally lived, Adam Wilborn, WrestleMania 35, when you could have easily split that up into two. And if you imagine finishing night one with Kofi's win,
yeah,
and finishing night two with Becky Lynch's win, not to say they weren't still both amazing moments, but Becky's in particular suffered from happening at like 1 a.m. and everybody was exhausted after all of the wrestling. It just makes sense. I think for fans it makes sense. And I think for performers as well, more importantly, it makes sense. And also, there's got to be a way financially that can make that make sense too, surely.
Yeah, I think I was chatting about this with Andy on the news the other day, and I said, you know, it's all well and good saying, well, they can't do a two-night WrestleMania forever because how are you going to sell, I don't know, 150, 200,000 tickets? And it's like, well, they're wrestling fans. They're in the area. Like, if they just said, like, WrestleMania 35, perfect example. You'll have to move around the dates and stuff because we had the TakeOver and the Raw and whatever, but let's just say that they did it and that allowed for an extra day. If they went, here's your ticket, hold on to that, you'll need to come back tomorrow, and it's the same fans for two nights, fine. I'd rather that than, like you say, be stuck there for eight sodding hours and have to try and ramp myself up for a match we've been looking forward to for six sodding months or whatever it was. I don't want WrestleMania to go back to one night now. Like, it very much should be the least concern here. But when you've got people like Sasha, who's desperate to main event, and you've had people in the past who haven't main evented and stuff, the fact you get two shots at it means that you can kind of please more people there. I'm not saying that should be the reason that you do it, but as well, as part of that question, you asked about AEW. Like you say, I think, you know, you wouldn't have WrestleMania Backlash, a two-night extravaganza, or bloody, you know, Money in the Bank being two nights. Those, you just keep it nice and tight. You just keep it 3 hours. It's really easy. You know, Phil and I have said ourselves, like, when we've done our sort of what went down of, say, something like Fastlane, gone, it wasn't great, but it was short. I mean, that shouldn't be a nice surprise. It should just happen. The intriguing part of that question, I think, you'd still have one night SummerSlam, one night Survivor Series, one night Royal Rumble, and two nights WrestleMania. The AEW question is interesting because I've thought that is because, you know, they've only got four a year. They try and cram loads of stuff on it. And I'm quite honestly, not just because of the time difference, although that may be one of the reasons, I'm exhausted after a revolution or whatever it may be. What do you reckon to that? Two nights for them?
Yeah, I think it's a problem they're going to have to deal with sooner rather than later, isn't it? Because one of the things wrestling fans didn't like before AEW was created was that WWE's pay-per-views were creeping into the four-hour mark. That was something they weren't happy with. Now we're getting to the point where AEW, almost from the very word go, have used that model, haven't they? That's, and I get it, because obviously, like you say, they don't have as many pay-per-views per year. To make all of the pay-per-views two nights, I don't think that works. I don't think that's feasible enough. The minute, I think it might just be a case of they might have to get tighter on what they do. And yes, it's good trying to get as many people on the pay-per-views as you can, and all the storylines tend to have been given enough time to have been relevant. But I think they're going to have to start. 3 hours, I think, seems to be where there's a nice mark there. 4 hours, it starts to feel bad. 5 hours when you've got pre-shows and stuff involved as well. Fans get exhausted, man, they do. And unless you've got something else to kind of be doing in between. The one thing I would say is that maybe to, for both AEW and WWE, as we've seen with New Japan, like the two-night thing, obviously, I guess if we were to pick AEW's like flagship pay-per-view, I guess Double or Nothing, right, would be the one of like maybe they could do that two nights. But it adds narrative possibilities, doesn't it? Where you can do this thing happens on night one, which leads into night two. That's like, and you get a bunch of those things that could happen. So there's definitely pros to it. AEW might not be able to do it just yet, though, I don't think, because, I don't know, they don't do enough pay-per-views for my money.
Hamflet came up with, or stole, a great catchphrase from, I think it was from some speed awareness thing here in the UK. But in terms of matches, I was blown away by a lot of the stuff that happened at WrestleMania, because it was so just like, all right, we're going to give you Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, but they're only going to have 10 minutes. Like, I would rather sit there and go, oh, I wish they got five more minutes, whatever it may be, than go, probably cut that out. Like, there was matches that I wished had been given more time. Owen, Zayn, Riddle, Sheamus, really, I loved that on WrestleMania. Cesaro and Rollins just flew by for me. But yeah, the phrase that Hamflet used is 20's plenty, which I think for the most part, occasionally main events, like I didn't mind Brian and Edge and Reigns going over 20 minutes, only just as well for them. But yeah, I think that's half the battle as well, isn't it? Is keeping a leash on your performers and not having a match that can be told in 10 minutes stretch out just for the indulgence, perhaps, of performers.
It's the same as any other television show, whether like it's fictional or whether it's wrestling. If it can be told in 20 minutes, why are you trying to spend an hour telling it? Like, you don't need to do that. I do understand there are certain, like, this might be controversial. I know they are the best matches of all time, everyone will tell you, but for my personal taste, the Omega Okada matches, I find it's hard to go back and rewatch them because that's a large chunk of time you're going to have to go and donate to it. Like, I like what I saw. I understand why they are as good as they are, but for me, I'd much rather watch something in 20 minutes that's going to leave such a huge, quick impression on me. Do you know what I mean? And I guess maybe that's just a personal taste thing. It's all subjective, as Andy Murray would like to say, but I don't know. I feel like 20 minutes is more than enough. And the fact that, I think it was Hampton again who basically said the Adam Cole Kyle O'Reilly match, if they had that match twice, that was the length of one of the nights of WrestleMania or whatever it was. And it's like, that's unreal, man. If the story isn't good enough, or if there's not enough to tell and you're just doing stuff for the sake of doing it, then you need to reassess that, don't you?
Exactly. Right, I mentioned the main event of night two, which was just, oh God, I can't wait to watch SmackDown. You know, despite the fact I have my fingers burnt with the Raw after WrestleMania, I'm genuinely considering staying up to watch SmackDown after WrestleMania just to see what the fallout from all of this is, not just with...
Just to burn the rest of them off.
Yeah, not just with Reigns, but with Edge and Bryan and Bianca Belair and Sasha. Oh, my word. Big Man Small Planet asks, where do Edge, Bryan and Reigns go after WrestleMania? And possibly more importantly, who should be Roman's next challenger? I hope you guys are well and taking advantage of those beer gardens this week. Oh, trust me, plans are in place. We will finally get to enjoy Corona the right way soon, Adam Nicholas. But yeah, how do you see it being followed up? And more importantly, who's next for Roman? And please say a name I'm thinking of.
Oh, well, there's plenty of names you could be thinking of. You said, who's next there, Adam Wilbon? Are you trying to invoke the spirit of a certain performer in WWE?
Absolutely not.
I had a feeling you might not be. So what's next? I guess for Edge and Bryan first we'll go with. I think Edge needs to... I would like to see him start to go on a bit of a like a run of matches or whoever it is with new talent who he hasn't faced yet. Although, as I say that, I think a natural progression for WWE would be maybe a 1-2 pay-per-view stint with Bryan.
Yeah.
One-on-one matches, perhaps, because he'll probably see it as Bryan's the guy who got in there and cost him his one-on-one opportunity. He's going to want to take it out on him, potentially. I hope they don't just go
didn't
in
and give
him
both. Roman B as well, and Bryan pulled the referee out. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So there's enough of it. Well, we're going to see all of that spill out on SmackDown, which is going to be great. In terms of Reigns, honestly, I still can't get past it's not what anybody wants to hear, I don't think anyway. But even at the end of WrestleMania, when Michael Cole said, who could possibly stop Roman Reigns at this point? I was expecting a Brock Lesnar. I was expecting Lesnar to come out. And I know nobody wants it, really. I don't even think I want it, but it just felt like the logical step because they built Roman to such a height. But I do think they might save that match for a SummerSlam or a Mania where they can have the Paul Heyman's two guys against each other.
Yeah, I think it's all well and good booking Brock Lesnar. I think the thing is, as much as we thought, this is a good story, this is a good place for him to come back, I can very much see Brock just sitting up there at his house and going, nope. So that kind of plays well, that, because if he doesn't want to do it, he's not going to do it. I've campaigned for this for quite some time, whether it was going to be Bryan as champion, Edge as champion, or Roman Reigns as champion. Maybe not necessarily at WrestleMania Backlash, but I think Money in the Bank this year could be one of the best pay-per-view, one of the best B-show pay-per-views WWE's put on in recent memory, in my opinion, because you put Edge and Daniel Bryan in the Money in the Bank match, Edge in particular, as this desperate man now who has got this, you know, storied history with the briefcase. And because everyone buys Money in the Bank, well, they buy pay-per-views just because it's bloody network and Peacock subscriptions or whatever. But in terms of buying pay-per-views, you buy Money in the Bank for the Money in the Bank matches. And so intriguing in terms of who they put it on this year. Probably bloody King Corbin again or something. But both men's and women's, this is a wide open field, and you feel like it's possibly a catalyst for some change, fingers crossed, in WWE. So why not just have a competitor with Roman Reigns that we all know Roman's going to retain?
You've milked this, by the way. Good Lord.
They also could just put Cesaro in there. Like,
He's
beaten Rollins. I could, you know, they might do it a Backlash, but I feel like Money in the Bank is such a perfect thing, because wherever you drop him in, it doesn't really matter. It has to be Cesaro. Big E, yes, has lost, but you can't really have him lose upwards that much, and he's still got ongoing issues with Apollo Crews and a guy I've never seen before in Dabakato Babatunde or whatever new name they've bloody given him.
I think the interesting thing about this is that Cesaro would be, like, I didn't want to incur Cesaro's name because I don't want to jinx it for him. But I feel like everybody will be thinking that's a next logical step for him to head up in that territory. But also, if you take your mind back to WrestleMania 36, right? Seth Rollins lost to Kevin Owens, didn't he? He lost to him. And did Kevin Owens get the big push? No, he did not. Who got the match against Drew McIntyre next? Seth Rollins. And while it wouldn't necessarily match up in terms of heel versus heel, you know WWE love all this. Ooh, a chance for a semi-Shield reunion. That looks like something we could do. Seth's got a load of stuff going on in terms of he's wearing all these fancy suits and all that sort of stuff. And is that a reward for him for putting over Cesaro? That sounds more like WWE storytelling to me than it does, hey, Big Tony's looking good, let's give him the rub.
I can't shake the feeling of the excitement. I mean, even though people know there's no chance in the world Cesaro leaves as Universal Champion and is the one to end this mad run that Roman Reigns has been on, I'd still nibble on a pinfall on a pay-per-view. And my word, the mental image, Adam Nicholas, of not Roman Reigns or Jey Uso eating a Cesaro swing, but Paul Heyman getting swung around on an episode of SmackDown might be one of the greatest moments in SmackDown history.
I think you've just sold me on that there. I mean, to watch Paul Heyman move through the air in what would probably be the only time he would ever be graceful in his life. I mean, that's quite something. That is quite something. I never even thought about Paul Heyman taking a swing. And now I think it's all I'm going to think about for the rest of the day.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Right, let's look at some more questions we received on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Of course, you want to get in touch with us. Cy Hawk says, is Aleister Black done at WWE and stuck doing nothing until his contract is done due to Vinny's beef with Zelina Vega? And does he go to AEW when he's free?
Quite possibly, I think. I mean, in terms of a fit, surely, and Aleister Black is a fit much better for an AEW than he is. Like, think about Aleister Black in NXT. That whole character, the whole brand and the gimmick, everything about it would work excellently in a company that actually would give it time to breathe and not systematically remove each individual part of the things that you liked about it before it actually got a chance to breathe. It sounds like they haven't had anything for him already. The Zelina Vega stuff won't have helped that at all. Vince will not have any interest, particularly, I don't think, in pushing him in any way, shape, or form. I mean, the only saving grace I could ever imagine for him would be seeing him go back to NXT, and I don't even think they'll give him that, unless they decide to move Finn Balor back onto the main roster now that he's lost the belt, and they need another old NXT head to go back and sort of spearhead things for a while. Because you could see him having some great matches over there. That would be some interesting stuff for him to pick up. But really, I think we could just be playing the waiting game now. And the question would be, and I guess this, I'll add this to you before you answer as well, could you see him pairing up with Zelina Vega somewhere else, as opposed to Zelina and Andrade, which I know people have dreamed of? Could you see possibly Aleister Black and Zelina doing something together?
Yeah, I think so. That might be very interesting, as much as it worries me whenever they go, just put a couple together. Mainly that's my WWE head on. I think it's inexplicable. It probably is going to happen, but WWE potentially in the same year letting Andrade and Aleister Black go, it's just mind-blowing for me. Obviously, two former NXT world champions and just so talented. And you look at, I don't want to bury him, but you look at the exposure that someone like a King Corbin gets. And I know he's got a role to play and stuff. And it's not, this isn't on him. This is the way they're booking him. But you're like, I get you've got a blueprint, a way of doing things. And there's certain things on a checklist that if people don't do that, then it's kind of, but you look at the things that Andrade and Aleister Black can do in the ring. And yeah, if WWE want to use them, of course they should go to AEW. And Zelina Vega, again, I mean, it's even more inexplicable because it's not like she's pissed people off by doing stuff back. She just does stuff outside of WWE. And they had a hissy fit about it in the midst of a bloody pandemic. Oh, I'm not going to wind myself up about it. Yes, I hope it does. I think it will. And the Zelina Vega, Aleister Black team up is something I've never actually considered. But now you've dropped that in. I really like the sound of it too. So fingers crossed. But as always, we'll keep you posted on any developments with this. If they've got a brain in their nut, they use him anywhere. Like you say, he doesn't have to come back and immediately start fighting Karrion Kross. You could have him come back and fight for the bloody North American Championship with Johnny Gargano, which would be tasty. But
would be delicious, wouldn't it? I mean, there's so many matches they could have there, but I could also see him doing New Japan though, if he was interested in that. I could see him going there and bringing that kind of character across there. That would be interesting too.
Scotty Curtis says, on the back of Phil Chambers' recent post of his first WWE show he attended, what were some of the matches and memories from your first ever events? Scotty shares his. He went to watch World Wrestling Entertainment, the Ruthless Aggression Tour at the Rod Laver Arena in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. I got to see Scott Steiner beat Test, Spike Dudley beat Stephen Richards, Victoria beat Trish Stratus, La Resistance beat the Dudley Boys to retain the tag title.
Wow.
Defeating Christian to retain the IC title, Goldust, Val Venus, Rob Van Dam versus Kane, and Kevin Nash and Shawn Michaels versus Chris Jericho and Randy Orton. Some of your memories, Nicholas.
Wow, some good matches on that card, by the way. Just, or like certainly timestamp matches that would, I'm sure they go down quite well now. I can give you a few. I can give you the first WWE live show I think I ever went to. I believe this was it. A great moment I'll never forget when there was a women's tag in the ring. And I think I've mentioned this story before. It was the Bellas, and I believe it was like Paige and someone else. I'll say AJ Lee. It wasn't AJ Lee, but let's just say it for the purposes of this. It was that Mania tag match, something along those lines. And in the middle of this women's match, and this was at the time when we were talking 2015, where Sting had returned to WWE, I say returned, had turned up in WWE.
Yeah.
The lights in the arena just cut off. Like there was a power cut in the middle of this women's tag match, and some genius in the midst of this just shouted, "It's Sting!" Like everybody was just howling. Everybody in the arena was absolutely laughing their head off because when the lights came back on, obviously there was no Sting. But a great little moment that from a first WWE live show. But then I guess just briefly for first big pay-per-views. The first actual big pay-per-view I ever went to was TakeOver Dallas, which was NXT TakeOver Dallas, which was amazing. Obviously, loads of big moments on that night. The whole show was great, but I guess the highlight was Sami Zayn and Shinsuke Nakamura. In particular, Nakamura's entrance as well was just sublime to watch for the first time. Finn Balor came up with a chainsaw that night as well, I think. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And from that WrestleMania, let's have a think. Oh, that WrestleMania, the ladder match. It was a terrible WrestleMania in hindsight. The worst one ever, WrestleMania 32, because everybody was injured. But yes, the ladder match where Zack Ryder won the belt, the IC title, by chucking the Miz off the ladder. But genuinely, the bigger moment for me was Kevin Owens coming out in front of that crowd, 100,000 people at the start of that match, and he was just hyped. And he got me hyped. I was like bouncing off the walls by the time he came out. Amazing. Really, really great stuff.
Yeah, the only thing I can compare that entrance to is when he returned to NXT or War Games and you could just rip.
Oh, God. I envy Michael Hanfler every day for having that experience.
Bastard. For me, I went to my first WWE event I went to was just a live event in Birmingham. And it's just bucket list stuff. I got to see the Dudley Boys put the New Day through a table. Take that off. Brilliant, that. And I think that possibly was the same tour that Rollins was meant to be on as world champion before he got injured.
Mm.
And they replaced him, if I'm not mistaken, with Dean Ambrose, which popped me. In terms of the first WWE televised thing I went to a SmackDown live in London just before me and the missus went to the Dominican Republic on holiday. And it was just a great couple of weeks, that. My distinct memory from that was A, them going, please stick around and watch 205 later and we'll let you watch Shinsuke Nakamura actually wrestle, because this was before he wrestled and him and Ziggler were going back and forth and they just put the match on after the show, after the 205 live. But my main memory from that show is being in the like concourse area, going to get some food or going to the loo or whatever, and just hearing Breezango's music hit and sprinting to get back because I wanted to be there to do the Breezango. in terms of like live events, obviously, going to take over New York, going to WrestleMania 35 it's not a bad WrestleMania to have as your first WrestleMania, and it will live long in the memory, even more so, arguably more than all that, the podcast, which is, all, I think I checked a while back, one of our most listened to podcasts ever.
Yeah.
It's me, Nicholas and Cleary at what? 4 a.m., which you think, well, you record 4 a.m. podcasts all the time. Yeah, not when the show starts at bloody 6 p.m. or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me, Nicholas and Cleary, trying to remember what happened at WrestleMania 35 and just sort of fidgeting to make sure your body doesn't fall asleep, basically.
I actually think me and Cleary were just taking it in turns to nap while you were asking, like, we were taking on who would wake up, and then you'd nudge the other one and send them in for a quick bit of conversation there. But actually, you reminded me there about being at an inconvenient bathroom break when something good's happening. At that Mania 32 was the one where Austin, HBK and Mankind came out, or Mick Foley came out. And I was literally just gone to the bathroom, and obviously you could hear the music starting. I want to say maybe Mick Foley was first, and then it was Michaels, and then it was Stone Cold. So imagine, like, you're trying to rush through going to the toilet, and, like, these entrances are kicking off, and I'm getting faster and faster, and then I hear the glass break. And I heard the glass break, and I think I just gave up. I, like, ran my hands through someone else's water, as, like, I mean, from the taps where, yeah, they were washing their hands. as quickly as possible. I was just running with my hands like that, straight down to go and catch it all as it was happening. Amazing stuff.
Right, final few questions here. Luke Cullen says, any John Cena moments that genuinely popped you or you remember fondly? He's what got me into wrestling at the age of 5. Oh, my God. And wow. Sadly, most people, looking at you, Michael Sidgwick, I'll make word what he says, aren't fans of him, either deservedly or not deservedly so. I saw an interview with Cena as Peacemaker on Stephen Colbert last week, and I kind of fell in love with him all over again. He's such a top boy. I miss him.
He's definitely missed. He's a big presence, isn't he? And shout out, first of all, to Luke Cullen, who always supports the boys at What Culture. Always good to hear from you, sir. But in terms of John Cena doing stuff, one that comes to my mind that you and I both shared together was John Cena coming out as the Doctor of Thuganomics at WrestleMania 35. And just generally, like, not being afraid to take the piss out of himself, because, like, he knows what he is. He knows what the fans think he is. And like you say, man, he's a miss, genuinely. I do think, like, I mean, I don't think there's... You wouldn't be shy of him coming back, would you? Like, having that star power come back and just pop his head in for 5 minutes. And although it never actually ended up coming to anything, he was the only person, I think, maybe on earth who could have pulled off proposing at a WrestleMania. which, I have to be honest, while I was there live and a bit pissed, I was like, isn't that lovely?
Yeah, I loved him coming out at 35, and credit where it's due, and you can draw comparisons to this year in terms of the the way the Fiend fared at WrestleMania for WrestleMania 36.
Yes.
I have to admit that
yes,
love or hate him, and I generally lean towards love him now. I think I've had that time to sort of take a step back and acknowledge the fact that, I mean, yes, he was dominant on top, but who else was there going to be who could really carry the company? There's many matches and results you can point to and say, shouldn't have won that, Team Nexus. But he I think now he's just willing to, yeah, like you say, even more so than he was before, acknowledge his faults. I mean, take ownership of that in that Firefly Funhouse match. And WWE just put it on their YouTube channel. It's something I'm probably going to go back and watch very soon again as a result of that. I thought for a split second, one of my favourite John Cena memories is actually a dreadful match. It's me and Adam Nicholas after a night watching him versus JBL at WrestleMania 21, a match I very vaguely remembered of, like, oh yeah, blah, 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 FU, world champion. That's the match. That's the match, isn't it? That's it.
It's the worst match. I think it's one of the worst matches I've ever watched. And anybody else who has better suggestions, please do send us them in. But, like, genuinely, it's punches, elbows, clotheslines, scoop slams, stuff in the corner, just like
pumping
punches
up the
in
shoes.
The corner, pumping up the shoes, seen as five moves to doom. And that's about it. Like, obviously, we got the FU. Genuinely, it's not... There's not even, like, do you know when you see two horses going at it, you think, this is amazing. I just remember watching it and just it just bored me to tears. It was dreadful.
Can you guess how long it went? I've just got the WrestleMania 21 card up here.
Too goddamn long.
It only went 11 minutes. It felt like
still too long. Still too long. I told, when I put it on with you, I remember you were like, this isn't too bad. And I was like, I'm telling you, this is going to be a long ass watch. And we were both broken by the end of it, I think.
Oh, roller coaster WrestleMania 21 was, by the way. Look at this. Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero to open.
Yeah.
Edge winning Money in the Bank in 15 minutes, second match. Yeah. Undertaker, Randy Orton. Trish Stratus, Christy Hemme goes 4 minutes for the Women's Championship. All right, okay. Kurt Angle, Shawn Michaels goes nearly half an hour and every minute of it. And
yes,
then,
it,
all right, let's calm the crowd down before Triple H's match. Akebono versus The Big Show. Super match. John Cena, JBL, and then Batista winning the title from Triple H. Mm. Yeah, quite the ride, that WrestleMania. But yeah, a lot of love, John Cena. A couple of final questions here. I'll just fly through this one very quickly. I like this one from AFK. If you could show someone a single piece of content you worked on at What Culture to be like, this is what I do and it's awesome, what would it be? Well, thanks once again to everyone who subscribed to help us hit 2 million subscribers on YouTube.
Absolutely. Well, I'm not usually one to be self-indulgent, I think, with the work we do, but it is absolutely my favourite thing ever. Was the catchphrase quiz,
yes,
that we did, wrestling quiz. Not only because I enjoyed being part of it, I was one of the three contestants who got to do the first one and won it, but you know what, no big deal. But also just the amount of time and effort and work that you and Phil put into this. Nobody will ever truly know how much went into this, and it paid off in, maybe not in clicks the way we might have wanted it to, but in terms of the joy in my heart, it's never ending, that. Never ending. Yeah. Amazing stuff.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because it would have been very self-indulgent, but I was going to have to mention it as well. The hype that went around that was ridiculous in the What Culture office. We had secret chats with me, Phil, and the bosses. We had boxes and boxes of stuff getting delivered. And then me and Phil booking the studio for hours on end to record our little stupid photos and skits and what have you. It's still available on our YouTube channel to go and check out. I think it's done over 100K, so hopefully when we can finally be in the same place together, we'll try and shoot another one of those, because it was so much fun, A, to be a part of, and B, to see your guys' reaction to as a result of that. In terms of other things, I think one of the coolest things, obviously, is whenever we get to report live from events and randomly bumping into and starting up an apparent feud with Chris Cyborg is up there with one of my favourite memories from What Culture. But also just that random day where, what other job can you come in and obviously we're very lucky to be able to talk about our passion, but I remember coming in and just, don't normally do this, it's normally quite professional, the back and forth I have with the bosses, but I came in and was just ranting the office and ranting for the bosses about that episode of Monday Night Raw. And yeah, one of the bosses said, just go into the studio and just start recording, just say what you just said. And that's what I did. I had a 10-minute breakdown, broken will, born, and it was preposterous that was a job. It's very different to some of the other stuff. But yeah, the fact that you just get all the stuff off your chest about a company that without them you wouldn't exist, but also it's a love-hate relationship at the best of times, I think it's fair to say, with WWE. Right, final question. I like this one. It's a good one to finish on, from Jack Neville, who says, Michael Hamblet once said in reference to Le Dîner Debonair that heels have their steak well done. What are some other everyday things that you think heels would do?
Oh, that's a good one. All right, real life heels. So, first things first, real life heels wouldn't return the round. And what I mean by that,
oh yeah,
is of course, if you were out on the drink, let's say there was four of you out on the drink and you were doing rounds, and a real life heel would be the lap. So you'd get your round, Wilborn, I'd get a round in, Michael Hamflett would get a round in, and then whoever the fourth person was would be like, right, well, I'm going to head off home now because I've had all the drinks I want, and would bounce. Or worse yet, we'd do I was going to call it a French exit, but I guess we should just call it an exit these days. We'd just do a side exit down the way and disappear into the night without ever reciprocating your drinks round. That would be one thing that they would most definitely do. Another thing, of course, a heel would do would be spoil the endings to films. Adam Hayborn, that's what a heel would do. Just walk in and start spouting spoilers everywhere. I think that would be a good heel trait. I had one more in my head there, and I think it's disappeared. But go on, give me a couple of yours while you're thinking. While I'm thinking, sorry.
They're very good, they are. Obviously, not tipping. That's a very heelish thing to do, particularly for our American listeners. That's definitely something a heel would do. For some reason, not letting you out of a junction, that really winds me up sometimes. That's definitely a real-life heelish thing to do. I think not getting around him might be the most heelish thing ever. I think that's something MJF's definitely going to do on Dynamite in a few weeks for the rest of the Pinnacle.
I've got two others that I could probably summon here, and I think these are more personal, like my personal views on things. People who, right, when you make plans with someone, so like let's just say again, you and I, Adam, have made plans together, right? We've made plans, but it turns out you're actually a heel, and rather than me committing to just a night with me and you, you've invited seven other people that I didn't know about, and I turn up for my nice one-on-one catch-up drinks with you, and it turns out that everyone in the world is there. That might just be a personal thing, but that grinds my gears. If I have just signed up for a certain type of night and I end up on a different kind of night, unless it's something that is genuinely an improvement that I'm happy with, oh, it drives me nuts, that. Or the other one, I guess it comes from Seinfeld, this one. Not really a personal one. I just find it funny that George Costanza finds it so funny. So infuriating. People who double dip their chips in dip. Oh. So like you get your chip or your crisp, as we would call, you put it in the dip at a party in particular, and you've dipped it in there and you've taken a bite of it, but you haven't finished the crisp. And then you've gone back in again into the dip with the same crisp because that's going to have your mouth on it. And now, obviously, after the pandemic, that is the most heelish thing you could possibly do, surely. You've just basically contaminated the whole dip for not just everybody at the party, but everyone in the world. And I don't like it. It's no good.
No, exactly. That's a great one. And just to piggyback off the other one that you've just suggested there as well, in terms of the most heelish things to do, if it's not inviting other people to tag along to your personal event, it's waiting till half an hour before and cancelling because of a clearly bollocks excuse. Like, if you don't want to hang out, just say, I'm not a, you know, delicate flower. Just say, don't turn around to me and say you fish is sick, or I've genuinely had this, someone who didn't turn up to a birthday party of a friend of ours because they said, oh, I can't come, the boot on my car's broken. What are you talking about, you absolute idiot? So yeah, it preposterous, some of the excuses that some people will come out with.
Oh, that's good. I mean, There's a certain level of heel creativity involved there with the broken boot on the car that I'm almost impressed with.
And just to add insult to injury, he texted him later on the same night, said, oh no, mate, hope everything goes all right with your car. And he goes, oh, it's fixed now. Didn't bother to actually bother coming to the house party. He just said, yeah, fixed now, don't worry about it. See you in a few weeks. See you later. Bye-bye. Right, let us know. So I like this topic. We feel like we could do an entire podcast on this. What are the most heelish things you can do in real life? Let us know on Twitter, at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there. You can follow both of us. You can follow me, at Adam Wilborn. You can follow him, at It's Adam Nicholas. I'm saying that for him because I'll tell you what one of the most heelish things you can do in real life is, and that's get Virgin Media Broadband, apparently, because he's a grab. Right, my thanks to Adam Nicholas. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for all your Twitter questions at What Culture WWE. We'll do this again soon with another member of the What Culture office. But for now, my thanks, Adam Nicholas. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.